Let me talk about what we're about to start tonight. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Tonight, on Wednesday nights, we are going to start learning about operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're not going to start learning about that for the pastor. We're going to start learning about that for you guys, okay? I talked about this on Sunday morning, and actually, when I said that we were going to start this on Wednesday nights, I had no plans to start this on Wednesday nights when I said it on Sunday morning. In the middle of the service, the Lord said, we're going to start this on Wednesday nights, and I haven't had anything prepared. I'm just excited to know what God's going to do on Wednesday night. But as I've been praying about it and as I've been thinking about it, it's so important for us as the body of Christ to walk in everything that God has promised us, what he wants all of us to do. Now, most of us that are here have been part of the Word of Faith. We've been part of a charismatic church. You know, we've heard about the promises of God. We've talked about the miracles of God. And as long as I've been involved in it, which is well over 30 years, it always seems like we're always looking to the future, that God is somewhere is going to pour out his Spirit, and then we're going to walk in these things and we're going to see these miracles. And don't get me wrong, we've seen miracles over the years, but we always go back to, what was it like in the book of Acts? Are we seeing the book of Acts in our churches today? I think most of us would say no. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep talking about it and pressing for it. Well, I'm through talking about it. It's time for us to step into it, period. And a lot of times we think we're waiting for God, and God's just waiting for us. So it's going to change from week to week on Wednesday nights. But I'm not going to be in a hurry about this, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I think for too long, congregations have sat in the pulpit. I mean, sat in the pulpit. We want to put the congregation in the pulpit. That's where I'm going. Congregations have sat in the seat waiting for the pastor or the evangelist or the minister to flow in these things and to get mesmerized by what they walk in, and never have built up their expectancy about walking in it themselves, or either think that they're not worthy for God to be able to use them, or there's all kinds of doubt, or there's all kinds of fear. There's a number of roadblocks that keeps people from walking in the things of God. Okay? And so we're going to get rid of those roadblocks. So let me give you some instruction, and let me tell you kind of how these things are going to go. First of all, I don't really know how it's going to go, so I can't help you there. What we're going to do is we're going to be very open to the Spirit of God. We want the Spirit of God to flow in our services. Amen? Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But, you know, it wasn't enough for the disciples. The disciples could, I mean, the disciples, they lived, they talked, they walked, they heard the word for 3 years. Many of us, we've heard the word for 20 years or more, right? But that wasn't enough for them to step out into ministry. Jesus said, I need you to stay in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And after you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. Now look at this. Jesus himself was the Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And on down it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was the Word and had more Word than any of us ever have had. But yet he did not step into ministry and did not minister to anybody until he went to John the Baptist, until he was baptized, until he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Now, what that tells me is that We have to have the Word, but we also have to have the Spirit. Now, it also tells me that our services have got to be directed by the Holy Ghost. That as the Word is being taught, that the Holy Spirit in the middle of that may have a word of knowledge for somebody. See, that's why it's so important to plug into a local church. Because you can sit at home and you can watch Creflo Dollar and Joseph Prince and Andrew Womack and Kenneth Copeland and all of the great, wonderful teachers, but they're ministering to millions of people. And so in the middle, they don't have the opportunity to flow in a gift that ministers directly to your situation. But the local body can do that. Okay. So let's take a look to begin with at the early church. Now, tonight is going to be primarily teaching. Tonight's going to be primarily teaching because you have to build your faith and you have to start expecting some things before you'll step into it. Now, the other thing is y'all are coming because you're hungry for the things of God. You're hungry to walk in the Spirit. I announced what we're going to do on Wednesday night. And as a result, you're here. I announced Sunday what we're going to do on Wednesday night. You're here because you're ready to step into those things. God's going to honor your commitment. God's going to honor your desire. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Not maybe, not if God feels like it. For those that are willing to press into the things of the Spirit, you shall receive. Amen. Turn with me over to Acts. And I'd like to look at chapter 6. I want to, first of all, show you a little bit about how the early church operated. Because I think for the large part that church has moved away from this model, has moved away from what God originally intended. In Acts chapter 6, and in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So very simply, what was happening is some of the widows that were maybe not Jewish widows, some of them were being neglected in the daily giving out of the food and things like that. And so they were coming, complaining to the disciples about it. And the disciples realized, hey, we've got to take care of this problem. But notice that what they did to resolve the issue is they said, get 7 men out that are full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And he said, we will give, verse 4, ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They knew that their assignment was to pray and to minister the word. Now, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of what? A man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and it goes on and names the rest of them, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So Stephen, I want to focus on Stephen and Philip for just a moment. This is what I want you to see. Stephen and Philip were not part of the disciples. Stephen and Philip were not part of the ones that were in ministry. They were part of the multitude. They were part of the congregation. But they knew, but they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were full of power. And so they had a good report they had a good reputation amongst the people that were in the congregation. So these are the guys that they wanted to help out with this. So I don't know if Stephen had ever heard the call into the ministry, but Stephen knew who he was in Christ. Stephen knew what God wanted to do through him. So what happened was, as Stephen began to do what they had asked him to do in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. As he went out, as he was doing what God had placed him in the church to do, along with that came wonders, miracles, signs. He expected, see, this is what the attitude of the church was. They expected that when they went into service, that they had the Holy Ghost on the inside, and they just expected all of the church to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. See? Stephen didn't find a need and then say, oh, let me go get Peter or John or somebody like that. No, Stephen was right there, and he flowed in what the Holy Spirit had given him to do. And so as a result, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, he also made some enemies when he did that, and he goes through, but he was a preaching machine. He had the Word of God on the inside of him. Now, let's go on down, and let's look at chapter 8. As Saul was persecuting the church and people were scattered everywhere, Philip finds himself in Samaria. Now, Philip's the same guy that was just picked out of the congregation to help. So Philip, in verse 5, went down to the city of Samaria. And so while he was there, what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. And the people, with one accord, they gave heed unto the things which Philip spoke. What? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So Philip flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. Philip had signs and wonders, but Philip was just part of the church body. Now what we find out is that Philip also had four daughters, and the four daughters prophesied. They flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. What I want you to see, and so that you see that everything that we're going to do is scripturally based, is that the early church expected all of the church to flow in the things of the Spirit. Amen. Not keep it relegated to just the fivefold ministry. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, we'll get into this later. Not tonight, but down the road, because Paul is really dealing with how, you know, some things that were going on in the church services and trying to create some order. But in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says this: how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Now he's talking to the church. He's not talking to ministers. He's saying, when you come together, every one of you, somebody has a song in the Spirit. The Bible talks about in Ephesians, he said, edify each other with spiritual songs. And he's talking about us communicating with one another. And he's not talking about the fivefold ministry. He said, or you might have a doctrine or something to teach, or you might have a tongue or a revelation that God has given you. Now, he's going to go on and he's going to talk about doing everything indecently and in order. But I want you to notice that Paul is not trying to keep the congregation from being involved in benefiting the rest of the body. Amen. He's just simply laying down some guidelines to keep everybody from just doing their own thing while they're in church. How many of you have been in some of those churches where everybody wants to do their own thing? Some people can get wild. But it's for the benefit of the body. Now let's go back to chapter 12. Again, tonight we're just laying some foundation. Because you've got to see this in the Word so that you'll expect it in your life. So, In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit." Somebody say manifestation.
Manifestation.
"But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." Is given to every man, and every person is really what the context of that's talking about. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost is given to every person to profit everybody else. We need to start believing and expecting manifestations of the Spirit in our life. And so he goes through the gifts. "For to one is given..." So he's about to explain it here. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man..." Or to each person, the Amplified says, "individually, exactly as he chooses." Now, who is Peter? Who is Paul talking to? A church. We have a tendency sometimes when we read these things to think he was sending this out to all of the body of Christ. But from Paul's perspective, while it was Holy Ghost inspired, the things that he was teaching was to a church. Okay? So let's read it as such. And so he's telling us that the gifts of the Spirit are given to every person in the church as he chooses.
That's right.
See, we'll take it, we'll lift it out of that context, and then we'll apply it broadly to the body of Christ so it's much easier for us to see how God could give it maybe to one person in this church, maybe to another person across town, and it makes it easier to see, you know, to accept it. It's kind of like evolution. The only way that they can get people to accept evolution is to try to go billions and billions of years, because surely somehow in that time frame, it's possible that it could have happened. Now, what'd you say? That's right. Ain't nothing happened since. So let's bring this back to the local church. Is it possible that Paul was suggesting that the gifts of the Spirit are given to every person in the local church as he chooses? I'm going to choose to believe that, since that's what he was writing to. Now that we've laid that foundation, let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Turn with me over to John chapter 14. Let me ask a question, and I am looking for an answer. So on Wednesday nights, this is not going to be a pastor's going to teach it. I'm going to sit there and get it. I'm going to take it home and then try to do whatever. This is going to be more of an interactive type thing. Now, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. I will never force you to do anything that you don't want to do. Whatever God does, you have the ability. You say, you know, "Lord, I want to step out." If you want to step out in the things of the Spirit, you're going to step out in the things of the Spirit. But, the spotlight's not going to be shined on you. And we're not going to say, "Hey, Frank and Thelma, would you come up here, please? And Frank, I'd like for you to give a message in tongues. And Thelma, I'd like for you to give the interpretation." That's not That's not the way the Holy Spirit operates, okay? So don't be concerned and don't be afraid that you're going to be put on the spot about doing something that you don't want to do. So here's my question for you. How many of you desire to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Okay. All right. Second question. Why? Why? Why do you want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Anybody? To receive His will. It's our nature. So if it's our nature, let's flow in it. For the glory of the glory to God, edification of the body. Jennifer said to help others. Jesus said that we would do the same works that He did. So if He said it, you just want to do it. Is that what you're telling me, Craig? Okay. Yeah. Get closer, be obedient. See, this is good. Now, the first thing you need to understand, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it and to judge it. Okay? The body of Christ is to operate from a standpoint of love for one another. The Bible says that each person needs to esteem each other better than themselves. So the very first thing that we need to realize coming into this environment, coming into these meetings, is we must do everything from a love standpoint. Love must be the foundation. What that means is that as some of us step out of our comfort zone, for some people, even answering a question like that, well, I might get the question wrong. What if I get the answer wrong? Then what does it matter? This is not a place that we bring our pride with us. Because if you're not willing to let go of your pride of yourself, then you'll never truly step into the things of God. Because the Spirit of God may ask you to do something that is uncomfortable. The Spirit of God may ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. And if you are hung up on your own pride and what other people are going to think, then you will never get to that place. Okay? So the first thing you need to do to contribute and to be a part of this is to leave yourself outside when you walk in. Nobody here is going to judge you. Nobody here is going to think that was a stupid answer. Oh man, they just missed it there. Because we are all at different places at different levels. There'll be some new believers that are in here. There'll be some that's been believers for a very long time. And it is, and the first thing you have to realize, you need to lay this as a foundation, is every one of those answers was good. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we flow in the gift, like somebody said, for the edification of the body to the glory of the Father. We want to be used by the Spirit of God for His glory and not so that people will look at us. Okay? Now, that means that I'm coming in from a total love perspective. It means that I want to do what's best. And if that means that I don't get anything or the Holy Ghost doesn't say anything through me or use me that night, then that's the Holy Ghost's prerogative to do that. And I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be offended because it's not about me. The gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit others. So start out with the mindset of, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to have any pride. It doesn't matter what your status is, because in God there is no male, no female, no black, no white, no rich, no poor. We are all, when we walk in these doors in the body of Christ, we are the same. Amen? Amen. The gifts of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, He says in verse 16, I'm going to pray the Father and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. In other words, you're familiar with Him because He dwells with you through me. But then that same Holy Spirit that has been operating through me is going to be on the inside of you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's key. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Just remember that, okay? And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost is a teacher, and he'll bring things to your remembrance. Now hop over to chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. What does that mean? It is better for you. It is advantageous for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he goes through that. But then look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall speak of himself. And whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Craig, you can't answer this question. Okay. No, I'm saying they can, you can't. And you'll understand why in a moment. He says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. What is that referring to? Or how does that operate? I'm asking that question. When you read this phrase that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, what goes through your mind? What do you think of? How do you think that that works? Looking for answers. So you can see anything in front of you. He'll show you anything, just anything in the future, anything, an event, something like that. Anybody else? Prophecy. Okay. Wisdom. So wisdom would be something to do in a particular situation, right? Okay. Let me show you something and take your understanding that I saw last night from a completely different standpoint. All of those answers are right, and they're good. Let me explain to you about why do I say all of those answers are right. Because with God, all things are possible. God is unlimited in what he does. And so we don't need to box him into one thing. Okay? I had the opportunity to sit down at a guy's house yesterday evening. He is 95 years old. Been in the ministry, I guess, just about all of his life. He traveled with William Branham, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts. This man lives in Springville, Alabama. I had no idea. He was in the meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, at the fairgrounds when A.A. Allen, he was telling us this last night, that they brought a child that had 26 different problems. He was born without any eyes. You know, when they brought him up, he could not walk. He had club feet, something like that. His tongue was just hanging out of his mouth. And as A.A. Allen prayed for this boy, the first thing that happened was, and this man, what's his last name?
No feet.
This man, what's his last name? Brother Willett. He was standing there on stage. He saw this happen. The tongue grew, just went back and snapped back into his mouth. He opened his eyes, and there were black pools that were filling up, and eyes were formed in front. Feet were created. Everything that was wrong, and his arms, and I looked this up at another place. His arms were all bent and broken. He was 4 years old. And he couldn't move, and God began to heal him, and you could hear the bones pop and snap as he was healed. And all 26 of the things that he was born with, and the doctors had said he wouldn't live for a year, and his brother Willett was telling the story, he was just weeping because he saw this happen. He sat, when they sat him down, he ran over to his mom, and the very first words he ever spoke was, "Mama." Anyway, this man started quoting scripture left and right. He quoted more scripture than I would quote in a service. I mean, chapter and verse, word for word, amazing. And so he was sharing some things with us that I'd never looked at quite this way. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. How did Jesus know to spit on the ground, make mud, and apply it to the blind man's eyes? How did Jesus know to tell Peter to go and fish and to get the first coin out of the fish's mouth? How did Jesus know that with another blind man, it was just better just to go and spit in the guy's eyes? How did he know to feed the 5,000? How did he know? Now, see, the way that we think about it is that Jesus heard the voice of his Father telling him what to do, heard the Holy Ghost telling him what to do. But turn with me over to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 19. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now, this is something that Jesus talked about on a number of occasions. As a matter of fact, when he goes to John chapter 15, he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." We have to realize coming in here that it is not us. We can't cause this to happen. We can't walk in the Spirit just because we say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. It is not us. It is allowing Jesus to work through us. It's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And when we recognize that it's Jesus that's living in us, see, Jesus recognized his dependence on the Father. Now look at what he says. "I can of my own self..." The Son can do nothing, but what he sees the Father do. "For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise." Now, anytime I've read that scripture, I'm looking at it from the standpoint that Jesus is just acting like his Father. He sees his Father do something, he does the same thing. His Father heals, that means he heals. And I think of it more from a standpoint of character. Okay? Maybe exactly what Jesus is doing, it isn't exactly what God did, but it's like what God did. But what he said, instead of me trying to interpret it, let me just read what he said. "I do what I see my Father do." What that means to me is that he sees what the Father is doing or wants him to do. He gets a picture of it. The Holy Spirit on the inside of him has shown him something to come. He's shown him that there's a fish in the lake with a coin in his mouth. And he said, "Now, it's not me that does the works. It's the Father that does the works." All right. So get a hold of this. Jesus is not doing the doing. It's the Father that's doing it. Jesus is simply the body and the obedient one that is seeing what the Father is doing and then bringing what the Father is doing in the spirit realm into manifestation into this natural realm. Yes. He sees the Father healing the blind man. He sees how the Father heals the blind man. And so what he does after he saw it in the spirit realm, he comes and he does it in the natural. Now, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is us getting that picture of hope on the inside. We all know how to live by faith. We get a picture of what the Word of God and an inner image of what God has said about us. And then we mix faith with it. We confess it and we take what God has promised and we bring it out of the spiritual into manifestation in this physical. Well, walking in the gifts of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit should be at the same level. Dr. Mary Francis said, there's been a release years ago of more seeings and knowings. And maybe it's just that people have started tapping into it. But let me, I'm beginning to understand this more. And what I want you to do is I want you to open your thinking and your mind. Because what we want from the gifts of the Spirit is we want the Holy Ghost to force us to do something. We want him to come in and to take control of our mouth and make it do what it wants to do. In other words, we want to be a little spiritual puppet. That's all we want to be. And that's not the way it works. We want this huge revelation to come and power just to hit us. And then we just start healing people left and right. And we come away and think, wow, look at what happened. And we want some supernatural event to happen. And I'm telling you that it's going to take people that are willing to step out in faith and to allow the Holy Spirit to show them things to come, not just things to come in their own lives. And that's where we've limited the Holy Ghost. We're like, the Holy Ghost told me to turn right. And I found out that when I turned right, because he showed me what was to come, that there was an accident down the road, and he prevented me from going to an accident. And the Holy Spirit will do that. Absolutely. We want to live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit every day. But I'm telling you, if you will reach out and if you will take it, the Holy Spirit will start showing you things on the inside about what he wants to do. You can wake up in the morning, and as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and as you're praying, you start getting a picture of how your day is going to play out. The Holy Spirit will tell you, when you go to Walmart, he will show you that there's going to be somebody there that is on a cane, and you will see yourself go up to that person, and you will see God the Father heal that person. And because you have developed your ability to hear the voice of God and to see that what the Spirit wants you to see, then when you get to Walmart that day, you're going to get there expecting to see it, and then you're going to find it. How come Jesus, I'm getting excited, I'm sorry. How come Jesus told the disciples? Now, I want you to prepare the Last Supper. Now, go down to this road, and you're going to find a donkey there. Tell the owner that the master has need of it. You're going to go down here. You'll find an upper room. And he gave them specific instructions. How did Jesus know that? Well, Jesus is God. Yes, Jesus is God, but he operated on the earth as a man. The Holy Spirit showed him something to come, and then he acted on that. We've kept everything way too surface. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. Turn with me over to let me see. Where is it? Brother Willett quoted this from memory, and I'm just having to look it up. 95-year-old man. Amazing. 1 Corinthians. Where is it that the eye hath not seen or ear heard? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Man cannot comprehend how much God has done and wants to do for them. But the Spirit of God is searching the deep things of God to make sure that we have a complete understanding and walk in the things that God has for us. Go back to John chapter 16. Where he's talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 13, I said, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He shall glorify me. So those that answered, I want the gifts of the Spirit in operation to glorify God, then that's in line with what the Holy Spirit's assignment is to glorify Jesus. Now look at the next phrase. For he shall receive of mine. He shall receive from that which belongs to me. Okay? The Holy Spirit will receive from the stuff that I have. And then he's going to show it to you. And then the next verse. Now, just so that you don't misunderstand this, everything that the Father has is mine. Therefore, and this is the reason why I said that he's going to take from what belongs to me and he's going to show it to you. Now, this is powerful. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's job is to go and find out everything that I got. Now, just so that you know, everything I got is what the Father has. He's given me everything. Now, what he's going to do, everything that I've got, his job is to show it all to you. We've been so small in our thinking. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Living, this is the reason why Satan has tried to stop the message and almost did until the beginning of the 20th century, tried to stop the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and tried to get it out of the church. Because revelation comes when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Revelation comes and you know what, and you start learning what God has for you by the Holy Spirit. We can go to the Bible, but I got to tell you, the Bible cannot contain everything that God has for us. Oh my. We are living in a time that the Spirit of God is saying, I want to reveal more. I want to reveal more. I want to reveal more. You know, what's happened as I've been teaching for the last 6 months, 7 months, or 8 months or so, for many times, just like tonight, I don't have notes. There's a few times that I'll write some things down because of what the Lord has directed me to do. But what has happened generally is that as I step in and begin to teach the things that the Holy Spirit has taught me or has started to show me during the week, the day before, I've never experienced this up until just in this last year. I get a picture. I see the direction that the Lord wants me to go in the teaching. I see the whole message laid out before me. Now, it doesn't happen on Saturday, and it doesn't happen on Friday. It happens when I step in and start obeying the Holy Spirit, which is interesting. It means I have to take a step of faith. And when I do that, and when I start talking, then the picture is laid out before me. And I just see things by the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to start thinking about this week, okay? and start listening for? Because Jennifer's asked me this question. My children have asked me this question. You know, I'll say, well, the Lord told me to do this. Well, what did that sound like? What did his voice sound like? How did you know it was God? You know, and you hear, and I don't know how it happens like for other people. I don't know how it happens for Dad. I don't know what he hears. Let me tell you what how it works for me. And this lines up with what we've just learned in the scripture about the Holy Spirit showing you things to come. I get pictures. What'd you say?
Imagination.
I get, as I'm praying, or as I'm walking, or as I'm doing something, I see a picture of the plan or something that God wants me to do. And I see myself doing it. So I don't hear a voice that says, Mark, go and preach my word. I've never had that happen. Or when I know that the Holy Spirit says, I want you to teach on this, what I have is an instant picture of what God wants me to teach. What I believe is happening, and I just now have found the scripture to back it up, what I believe is happening is the Holy Spirit is, he said he will tell you things that he hears. The voice comes through the Holy Spirit. That's the way that God wants the believer to follow him, is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that should be talking to you. Now he's going to tell you what he's hearing. Philip, we were talking about Philip. He was going on a way. He saw this man in a chariot, and while he's passing by, the Spirit said, go join yourself to that chariot. Now, did he hear a voice, or did he just have a knowing that that's what he was supposed to do? What I want you to start doing this week is to start being sensitive to what you are seeing, not here, but down here. I want you to develop, this is the practical side, and the things that you're going to have to start working on is, number one, you have to start expecting to see things to come. When Jesus said that about the Holy Spirit, I don't know if I'm conveying this well enough or not, but when Jesus said that about the Holy Spirit, what he was doing was he was talking about how he operated. He was talking about how he lived. He lived in a state of knowing. Somebody say knowing. He lived in a state of knowing what was to come. He lived in a state of seeing the Father do stuff. He lived in a state of not being surprised whatever happened in his life. Have you ever just something just kind of hit you upside the head? Something happened in your life and you're like, I never saw that coming. You weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to show you things. We must, if we're going to walk in it, we've got to believe it. You will never receive anything from God unless you first believe it. You didn't receive salvation unless you believed it. You won't walk in the things of the Spirit unless you believe it. So start expecting to see things to come. And what's going to happen is your ability to hear the voice of God is going to be sharpened. You're going to start seeing things God's way. Now, what will also happen, and this is the exciting part, is as you start doing that, because what I have found myself doing more and more, it started here in the pulpit, but now I have found myself walking my daily life this way. I have started just knowing things. I have started just seeing things. Regardless of what the natural looks like, somehow my spirit has gone beyond the natural, and in my own life, in my own, you know, there, we've had some unusually tough times in the last couple of months from a financial standpoint, personally, where, you know, things have just been, you know, paycheck to paycheck or whatever it is, you know, like just this month, you know, I build all of this in my business. Thought, man, look at all this, you know, money that's about to come in. Found out that one of my customers, they never got the bill. My other customer that I thought, man, they always pay me within a week. I'm going to have this next week. They waited 30 days. Why? I started looking at what my customers could do as opposed to looking at what God could do. I put my faith in what I did instead of what God has done. See, God can do exceedingly abundantly above. But what I found is even through all of that, there's been no fear. Even through all of that, I've been seeing the end result. I've been seeing what God is doing. In your daily life, as you start hearing the voice of God and start seeing those pictures on the inside of you and allow the Spirit of God just to flow through you and to show you things to come, some of the things that you have struggled with in areas of healing, in areas of finances, in areas of stress, in areas of care, in areas of your family, things that you have struggled with for years you will stop struggling with, because you'll start seeing it from God's perspective and you will know that you have the thing that God has already promised you. So see, walking in the gifts, yes, it's going to benefit others, and that's the reason that you do walk in them, but it ultimately is also going to come back around and you're going to be walking in a different level spiritually than you ever have in your life. And you won't be struggling with some things that you've struggled with. I can tell you that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Let's just pray. One thing that we're not going to do is necessarily be in a hurry about this, because the Holy Spirit wants the opportunity to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what I would suggest to begin with is that for you that know how to, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, starts praying in other tongues. Let's give this Holy Spirit operation to move. Dad, would you come up here, please? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shilobo koto songrata shikle menge. Deabrokto skrabata sikle menge de siklaba. Do you have something to say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Remember in Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Ghost was hovering, incubating, preparing, so that as the word came forth, then the miracle of what God said would come to pass. So the word is the principal thing, but the Holy Ghost will just be there to enlighten the word, incubate the word, cause the word to come alive. So as you follow the gifts, always remember that they're there to guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth will never lead you astray. So I'm telling you here tonight to expect great things.
Yes, yes.
By my Spirit, it's time to move forth, to move out. And let this inspiration or the light or the incubation cause the word to become alive like it never has before, and it will set you free.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Would you just stand up with me and let's just lift our hands towards heaven and worship Him. Hallelujah. It's a different... I told you, things are going to start being a little bit different. We need to allow things to be different. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, it's as you continue praying, let me just in our church, we've not been real comfortable praying in the Spirit out loud. We want to kind of keep that kind of soft. kind of concerned maybe what other people are thinking around us. And, you know, there's a time. There's a time for the congregation, I believe, to pray in the Spirit, because it allows you to get centered on the things of the Spirit, allows Him to start, and the wisdom of God and the flow of God to operate through you. And if you're afraid of and not comfortable with praying in the Spirit in front of others, in front of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, now some of you here may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. This is not a place to feel condemned and to feel upset. You know, well, I don't have this. I can't do that. You know, this is a place for you to learn and for you to get to that place. But for those of you that can and you're not comfortable praying in the Spirit, then you will never be comfortable in walking in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll never be comfortable in allowing the gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy. Those things flow through you if you're unwilling to just pray in the Spirit with those around you. So let's just lift up our voice. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. So braktes kremenge de shiklabate. De broktos kraban de shikla bokohon de banga da shikle menge. De broktos krabate. Gebrakte si kroto sungre de shi brokonde. Eyam brande shi krabate. De broktos krabati si klemenge. E brokote shingla mande. Seeings and knowings. Seeings and knowings. You'll be seeing and knowing things by the Spirit of God as you go to work. As you live out your day, seeings and knowings, visions, the Holy Spirit said in Joel chapter 2 and then confirmed it in Acts chapter 2 that in these last days I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. See what God wants you to see. Envision the things that God will show you. Expect to see things from God's perspective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Now, hallelujah. Now, this is just a step. We're going to kind of bring this to a close. This is just a step. I wanted to lay a foundation to begin with. I wanted you to see from a scripture where we have lived the Christian life at too low, too small. Our thinking has been too small. It's time to take the limits off. Allow the Spirit of God to show us wonderful, wonderful things that God has prepared for each one of us. Amen. He's going to show it to us. Do you receive that tonight? Do you receive that? Father, we thank you. Now I'm just going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, as a body of believers, Father, we are humbling ourselves before you. Father, we are stepping out in faith and believing you that this church will be the church that you started in the book of Acts. That this church, that all of us as a body of believers will walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And not just limited to inside these four walls, but that we'll take that out to those that are on the outside and start flowing in words of knowledge, start flowing in words of wisdom, start flowing in the gifts of healing, start flowing in such a way that we'll set people free and we'll glorify your Son, Jesus. So Father, right now, we ask, we simply ask, that you start by the Holy Spirit causing those gifts to operate in us. We make ourselves available to them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you receive that tonight, say, I receive that.
I receive that.
In Jesus' name. Now, like I said, Wednesday nights, it's not going to be just centered around teaching. We're going to flow with what the Holy Ghost says to do. Before we leave, does anybody have any questions? I want to give, this is about learning. This is about walking. It's not, I don't want to formalize this in such a way that I'm just giving things to you and you take it and you're confused. Does anybody have any questions? Nobody? Good. I either so confused you that you don't know where to start or are you so clear on it that you're going to go out and start seeing things from a Holy Ghost perspective this week? Amen. 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 Well, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. We're going on to greater and greater things. In Jesus' name, go out rejoicing. Hallelujah.